Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms. Hello, hi, welcome to Fat Mascara. I'm Jen. How's it going, everyone? I hope you enjoyed our Fragrance Week special with Emma Vernon last week and Jess, of course. Wasn't it nice to have Jess in the virtual studio? She's actually got another interview coming up soon, so you'll hear that, I think, in 2 weeks. But in the meantime, I am here for your Wednesday listening pleasure, so please keep the DMs and messages coming about the guest co-hosts. I love hearing what you think. Honestly, sometimes I'm selecting co-hosts, I'm writing all the scripts, I'm doing all this editing, booking, producing, and I'm wondering, is this resonating? So I like to treat you all like my coworkers. You're so smart. You have so many good ideas. So keep the comments coming. Let me know who you like, who's boring, if you have suggestions for guest co-hosts. Maybe you want to be my guest co-host. I don't know. Send me your voice. Send me what you think about beauty. Maybe you'll come on the show. You can email me at info@fatmascara.com, DM me on Instagram @fatmascara or directly at Jen_edit. It's Jen with two N's _edit. Or leave us a voicemail, 646-481-8182. Also, I love this feature. I don't know when they started doing this on Spotify, but at the end of every episode, there's a little poll like, what'd you think of this episode? So you can put a comment. And a lot of you have been using that, and it's great. So you can see published comments on specific episodes, not on the whole show the way they do on Apple. So listen on Spotify if you want to do that, because you can post your comments there and tell me what you think that way. Okay, now I am so excited to head into the virtual studio with today's guest, co-host Garrett Muntz. He's the author of the book Self-Care for Men, How to Look Good and Feel Great. And he's the grooming editor at Esquire and Men's Health. Okay, don't tell this to everybody in the industry. I know a lot of industry people listen, but he's like one of my favorite people to gossip with at industry events, other than Jess, of course. Just Garrett knows his stuff, especially when it comes to cosmetic injectables and plastic surgery, which we're really going to get into on today's episode. And heads up here, what is it they say on This American Life? You know that show? They say, this episode acknowledges the existence of sex. Well, I need to point out this episode acknowledges the presence of male bodies and anatomy that's usually covered up in public. So if that's not something you want to listen to, but you definitely want to listen to it. So let's go into the studio and hang out with Garrett. Garrett Muntz, welcome to Fat Mascara. Hi.
I am so excited to be here. Longtime listener, second time caller.
You are. You were on episode 104. What are we on now? 524?
I mean, it's crazy to think about how long you guys have been doing this.
It has. It's not many people that get to come back a second time around, so consider yourself very blessed.
I know. I'm very honored. I'm very honored. This is exciting.
We're going to have so much fun. Do like our regular Wednesday episode catch up. Just so you guys don't know, Garrett and I are friends and we do this sometimes anyway at industry events and things. But now you're going to be privy to it. So we'll be on our best behavior.
We'll try to at least. No.
Yeah. I was looking back at when episode 104 happened. It was April 2018. That's like so long ago. What have you been up to since then? You've changed jobs, right?
I have. I mean, apart from like living through a global pandemic and all of the other stuff, actually, so I left GQ where I was grooming director, like shortly after that podcast, actually in 2018. And now I am grooming editor for Esquire and Men's Health. And I basically started that pretty soon after. So it's been about 6 years of doing that job, which is really awesome. I love it. And then I also wrote a book, which came out in 2020, May of 2020, perfect timing to have a book come out.
About men's grooming when men were not grooming.
I mean, listen, it was called Self-Care for Men. It actually, in a funny way, was the timing did kind of work out because, you know, thinking back to that time, we were all like so obsessed with self-care. Like, that was all that we had, really, because we were still in lockdown. I remember we had planned some events and things like that around the launch, and they were all canceled. So I ended up doing a few virtual things. But ultimately, it was a funny time to have a book come out, but it turned out to be kind of great because of the topic.
So you wrote a book, got a new job.
Got a new job, wrote a book, grew a mustache.
Pets, life, grew a mustache.
Entered my daddy era. I did get a second dog.
Oh.
Yeah, so now I have two little angels running around here. They're not in the apartment right now because they're barkers.
Thank you for that. I've had Fat Mascara guest co-hosts and just guests in general who just keep their dogs around. I'm like, you're recording a podcast, you know?
I've learned through, I mean, it's like I do so many Zooms and interviews. It's embarrassing to have these, like the dogs. And you think they're going to be fine, but they never are. So I've learned my lesson at this point.
Our small mammals are never an embarrassment. We love them so. What are your dogs' names? And then I'll move on. I'm sorry, everybody, but you know I love dogs.
So I have two pugs, and they're both black female pugs. And the older one is named Elvira. And the younger one is named Morticia.
Okay.
We call her Morty for short.
Yes!
So they're little goth queens.
I feel like Wolfgang would fit in that mix.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
He's goth. I mean, he's a hairless man. Like, come on.
It's very Addams Family, this whole crew.
Misfit toys. Yeah, the yes, whole vibe. Totally. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
You're a friend of the pod. You already fit in. It's fine. Which is why, too, I feel comfortable now that you're on the podcast before we get into the news, asking you the truth. You're the first person, besides the listeners who are now hearing it, to see my new face. Because my derm, my favorite derm of many years, who I know I've talked to you about, retired. So I had to go to a new dermatologist for all my fun injectables. How do I look?
Interesting. I think you look great. We were at a dinner the other night, and I was thinking that you look very fresh.
I look fresh. Okay. What if this was my podcast? Like, what if it was just like I got on the mic and just had every guest tell me how I looked? That would be the worst podcast ever. But I felt like I could go there with you because we always talk about people's work. Like, who's got good work? Who's got bad work? What's the new procedure and treatment?
My question is, do you feel like it looks different from what you're used to?
I did it first. I thought it looked more, not more done, but like I caught myself in the mirror and I'm like, I'm sorry, she's aging in reverse. Like she did something to the lower half of my face with filler that just, also I don't go that often. I'm one of those people, this is my theory, tell me how you feel about this. I hold myself back from going for, by the way, the injectables I get are neuromodulators like Botox, as well as fillers, depending on what filler the injector likes. And I see the Botox wear off. And you know that, and it's that moment that you want to go back to get a refresh. And then I hold myself for like two more months. Like I force myself not to go because I'm afraid so much that it's a slippery slope to not knowing what your face looks like forgetting what you're supposed to look like.
I mean, I understand that. I mean, I don't do mine on schedule either because my Botox particularly wears off super fast.
And you get it in your, like, 11s and your forehead and around your eyes?
I get it all over crow's feet. Okay, like, mostly, okay. Like, she leaves a little bit of movement in my eyebrows.
Yes, you can. He's raising them just about a quarter of an inch. Oh, no, there we go.
Just okay, a little bit.
Yes.
There we go.
They're moving.
And I actually just got a little refresh, like, 2 weeks ago, because she tends to sometimes, my derm, underdo it. And I'm kind of like, girl, we can crank it up a little bit more.
Oh, so we're opposite here. Now, who is your dermatologist?
Dendi Engelman, who I know you've had on a pod before.
Oh, yeah. Dendi's
the best.
Yeah,
she's great. And, you know, she and I are good friends, and I've known her for so long, and I trust her implicitly that at this point, I basically just sit down and she does whatever.
Yeah. That's a nice place to get to with the person that you're trusting your face to. See, I'm the opposite. I go there, and I just went back. So I went to Melissa Levin, and what she does after she does the Botox, she makes you come 2 weeks later. Like, everybody has to come back 2 weeks later, which is right when it, like, is peaked, kicked in, and you're to see if she did enough. And I came in and I was like, it's enough. And she's like, no, I think I want to do a tiny bit more on that side because your one eyebrow is higher than the other. I was like,
oh, interesting.
Okay. So I'm like always like less, and you're like more is more.
I mean, I also think for me, it's just because men tend to metabolize Botox faster than women. And because we, for something about our bodies and our muscles are like slightly more dense. So it takes more Botox. It wears off faster for men. And also if you're really active, it wears off faster. So if you're like an athlete or something and you're working out a lot, I work out a lot. So it's like mine wears off probably, I would say, like 2 months.
Wow. Okay. And here I am at a 6-monther and you're like a 2-monther.
Again, I'm like you. I don't go every 2 months. I mean, I'll go every like 3 to 4
You'll
months.
Notice it wears off and then you wait to go back. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, for me, it's more like I just don't have the time. But I see your point about that. Like wanting to know what your real face looks like before you go get more.
Yeah. It's funny. When you came on in 2018, we talked a lot about men's grooming and how men were getting more comfortable with treatments and things like that. And here we are, 2024. Do you write about it a lot for Esquire and for Men's Health? Are people interested in injectables?
Yes. I mean, I don't write about it as much as I would like to in terms of, I mean, I loved talking about this stuff. I could talk about it forever. I could write about treatments and surgery and all of that stuff. I love it. So, I mean, I would love to do more of it. I do think interest is certainly there, though. I mean, we gave a grooming award, a Men's Health grooming award last year to that new filler Volux XC from Juvederm that came out last year. And it's perfect for men because it's specifically designed for jawlines.
Okay. And is that something that guys are interested in, a square jaw?
Yeah. Basically all men want a stronger jaw.
Speak for your entire gender, Garrett.
I mean, listen, think about why a lot of men grow beards. It's to create the illusion of a stronger jaw.
Sexual dimorphism. I get it. Like a man wants a square jaw and a broader brow, and female identifying people tend to want a thinner jawline and, you know, yeah.
But it's also interesting because I read all these things about how more and more women are focused on jawlines too now.
To that point, I got filler in my jaw, which—
Did you?
I don't think I've had before, but she was trying to balance— You know, I have big brows and cheekbones, and I think she wanted to, like, balance out my jaw.
Interesting.
So I don't know. Do you have filler in your jaw?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I love it. I love Volux. The first time that I got it, they put so much in. I mean, I have a naturally kind of a round face, and I've always had big cheeks my whole life until I got my buccal fat removed. And so I've always been so hyper-focused on this area of my face. And so, like, I love jawline filler.
Also, people listening, don't think I just, like, let him drop that he got his buccal fat removed and I'm not digging into that. He and I have talked about it extensively. He's written about it you wrote about it for The Cut, didn't you?
I think you were the one that sent them to me, yeah, to write that essay.
It was funny because they wanted someone to write about it. Like, a lot of women were also getting it done right around the time that you had. And I was like, I know a guy who got it done. So please see his articles for that so nobody has to delve into, like, Jen and Garrett's surgery hour here. But it did sort of slim the mid-face for you. And then I guess you put the filler and now your jaw is there. And to each his own, by the way, everybody listening, who probably thinks we're ridiculous, but this is part of the job to know what's going on so you can talk about it to people, right?
Totally. And I also think part of being a beauty editor is being a guinea pig yourself, which is like, I've tried so many treatments and I don't love all of them. So I really, if I really believe in something, I will talk about it forever. And it's funny, like, to be a beauty editor, you kind of have to do a lot of putting yourself out there in the world and talking about things that you're not super stoked about your own body and your own appearance, because it's also a way to connect with your reader, because we all have those things about ourselves. And if you're in this beauty industry talking to like anyone from this like ivory tower of like, I'm perfect, but you should do this, that's not reality. We all do this for a reason, right? We all love this stuff and talk about this stuff.
Yeah, I do it because I'm like, I'm curious and I want to be very open and I like truth and I like people to know, especially with the celebrities. I'm just like, no, you need to know. In fact, I just found out about another high profile person who I'm not supposed to talk about. But let's just say Brad Pitt definitely had a facelift and I won't give you any more information about that. But like, people look at those photos and they feel badly about themselves. And you need to know that that's not what that person looks like.
Totally. I mean, that's what really grinds my gears about all these celebrities. The men's version of just drink water is I just use soap.
So you're interviewing a guy and you get to that point where you're like, oh, what do you know? I use soap. I wash my face.
I wash my face, which is such BS, because I can think of 1,000 male celebrities that I know for a fact do all of this stuff that we talk about. And then when you interview them, they're like, oh, I just don't do anything. And it's ultimately doing a disservice to the reader and the public, because you're making them feel bad about themselves, right? It's like, these people have access to everything and they're doing everything. But so to pretend that you're not doing it, it's just, it makes no sense to me ever.
Yeah, I think it's even, the guys are even farther behind in the women about opening up about those things, because the gender norms of like, oh, I just woke up like this is much more clear with guys. Like,
yeah, it's like there's this like weird toxic masculinity thing tied to it all from both sides, right? It's like, you look at the Brad Pitt thing, for instance. I wish that he felt comfortable saying, yeah, I did that. Because we all know, like, I know for a fact he did it also. I'm pretty sure that I know what doctor he went to. So it's like, I'm going to always err on the side of what he says is what he's, you know, we should officially say. But I'm like, there's so many guys that look at him and feel inadequate because of how they look. And if they knew that he was doing all of this stuff that he's realistically doing, it would help them. It's just like, it's like when he launched his skincare line and his whole thing was like, I haven't really done a lot of skincare. It's like, what? A, you're selling a skincare line here. B, like, we all know that you definitely use moisturizer. Or something.
Yeah. Or even if he doesn't use those moisturizers or any moisturizer, you definitely got work done. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I do it, honestly. I like say it's high maintenance to be low maintenance, because I feel like if I do all that stuff, I have to do less with makeup and skincare and all that.
Totally. I also think that guys, on the makeup tip, because most guys don't wear makeup all the time. It's gradually changing, but the average dude is not wearing makeup. Like, those guys, when you see them all on like the red carpet or whatever, they're all wearing makeup.
Oh, yeah. When we get into the news, I want to talk. I know we're a little out from the Oscars, maybe, what is it, a week and a half? But I still want to talk about some of the gentlemen that I saw on the red carpet with you. So if we may.
Yeah. Oh, we should.
But before we get into that, I have to ask, of all the beats you cover, because you write about fragrance, you write about skincare, surgery, sometimes when they let you, what's your story or trend or like thing you cannot get enough of?
I'm always into skincare. I mean, I love skincare. Lately, I've been really getting into fragrance. Like, I mean, I've always kind of been into it from a topic standpoint, but I've really enjoyed kind of digging more into that world lately. And I'm doing a lot of fragrance stuff for Esquire, and that's been really great. That's been really exciting for me. I will say my favorite thing, though, out of everything, is when I get to talk to, like, the average people about what they do and why. Men specifically. Because I'm endlessly fascinated by people's routines.
It says so much about a person, doesn't it?
Absolutely. That's what I love about beauty in general, beauty and grooming, is that even if you're not an expert, or even if you think that you don't care about it, you're still doing it. You're still interacting with it somehow, right? We all hopefully like wash our bodies and use deodorant and brush our teeth and all that. It's like, you don't have to be getting all of the treatments and surgeries, but you're still interacting with beauty on some level, right? So like, I will go up to guys in like the locker room and be like, so what's that deodorant? Why do you like it?
All right, so when you do that, are they ready to talk or are they, why do you care?
I mean, sometimes I can kind of read the room a little bit too.
Like make sure he's got a towel on before we approach.
Yeah, when I took it in like the shower, right? I'm not like opening a shower door like, what's that soap you're using, you know?
Wait, why is this like a funny video / TV series that I need for you where you just like, hey, and pop into like unexpected places men definitely don't want to see you and like, what's in your bag? What's soap are you using?
I'm shocked that that's not some sort of like Old Spice campaign or something, right?
We just pitched it for you. If anybody listening works on that campaign, there you go. But yeah, if they are willing to talk about it, you feel like an anthropologist, don't you?
Totally. And I've learned some people are super creative. And I've also learned that we think that guys from an industry level, traditionally, we have always thought that guys don't care about this stuff. Guys have a lot of opinions and they really, really, really care about it. Like I've made a career out of that, right? And so it's like more guys than you think are actually like excited to talk to you about this kind of stuff. And they want to know, they're curious too. That for me is like the most exciting thing when I get that chance.
You did make a career out of it. That's why you're going to be such a good guest co-host, aren't you? Let's go do some news.
Okay.
Okay. So we're doing the news, trying something new here. We don't have to dig into all this, but there were like so many launches this past month that I just need to point out that of course we're on top of them here at Fat Mascara. We know Selena's doing makeup coming next winter. What was the other one I just saw? After Prada and Dries Van Noten. Acne Studios has its first perfume with Frederick Malle. That drops April 17th. I feel like that's totally your vibe.
They also just had skincare come out.
Yeah. Then we've got Bella Hadid over here with Orebella. Then we got, that comes out in May. Kylie Jenner just launched a new perfume. It's just busy times in the beauty launch cycle. So if anybody wants to know, yes, I try these products, but like if it's worthy of delving into and like giving you a recommendation, you'll hear about it in Raise a Wand. I don't feel like digging into every celebrity line like in the news. It's like less newsworthy now almost.
It's not worth it. There's so many.
You can make a whole podcast just of like celebrity launch of the week.
Absolutely.
Actually, that's a funny podcast, not just beauty, but like each week is a different celebrity line. What went into it, if it's good or not, if they really use it.
I think this is like a whole spinoff for you.
All right, we'll work on it. We'll workshop a name there.
I mean, because they all have something. Like I recently learned that Kylie Minogue's wine line is like the most best-selling wine in all of Australia.
Oh, she's got like Kylie Cellars or something. I didn't even know she had a vineyard or a wine line. Maybe she doesn't have a vineyard.
Like, apparently it's very good.
Okay. This could be the first episode of TBD, TK name. We could come up with a good name. All right, maybe we shouldn't workshop this in real time while people are waiting here to get the news. Instead, let's get into it because when I asked you to be guest co-host, you immediately started texting me stories. You're like, we need to talk about this. We need to talk about this. First up from the New York Post, just hit me with the headline.
Men are paying up to $250,000 for facelifts. They all want to look younger. So this is the thing about the Post. It's a little sensationalist always, which is why it's fun to read. And it's very skewed. But I think that this story is really interesting because it speaks to a lot of different things. Like we already talked about Brad Pitt, right? He's referenced in the story. And it also speaks, I think facelifts are becoming more and more popular in general right now. Everyone's talking about facelifts for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know what is going on, but like from a trend perspective. Because
they've gotten better.
Yeah, they've gotten incredible.
Like if you have saggy skin, Botox doesn't fix that. Filler doesn't unsag skin.
No. I mean, it can fill it out, but it's not going to get rid of it.
Oh, maybe
right?
It's because Ozempic, because everybody has Ozempic face and then their face falls.
I think that's part of it, honestly. And I was talking to Dr. Julius Few, who is a really great plastic surgeon. I asked him what the appropriate age for a facelift is, because I've heard younger and younger people are getting facelifts, right? And he was like, you know, I am seeing people in their 40s, like 30s and 40s, asking for facelifts. But he said the appropriate age to him is like at least early 50s.
And of course, dependent on your bone structure, your genetics, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, a facelift in your 30s? Come on now.
I mean, he was like, you just don't want to do it too early. You know, you're going to have to do another
one. What if I could have a couple? Maybe it's not. It's like your marriage. It's like marriage. Just this is my first facelift. This is my second facelift.
It's true. It's true. I mean, I do know people that have had multiple facelifts, which is fine too. Like, you know, that's not a bad thing. It's just like, I think you're right. The Ozempic thing is really driving that trend in a weird way. But also, so I did look at this story because it's like, so they referenced a report from the American Academy of Facial Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery. And so that report is it's a survey self-reported by surgeons. So the surgeons are saying, men, we are noticing more men asking for this. But there's no actual hard data. And so I looked in my other favorite, which is the American Society of Plastic Surgeons. They do an annual report about all of the like procedures and stuff. They didn't published yet for 2023, but I looked at 2022. So basically, facelifts for men are in the top, they're the third most popular facial procedure for men. That said, men only made up 7% of all facelifts done in 2022.
So everybody's getting more facelifts, which is what plastic surgeons are seeing more men because they're just seeing more people wanting this, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, it's in the zeitgeist.
Yeah, I mean, it is true, like men each year, it is reported that more and more men are getting both invasive and non-invasive procedures. Something like in 2022, it was like up 253% from like 2016 or something, right? So that is huge growth. But just from a total standpoint, men are still making up a very small portion of
people who get surgeries.
Right. But I do think it's fascinating.
Yeah, but out of left field for me when you sent me this link was the end. We talked about faceless, et cetera, et cetera. And then they pull in David Beckham.
The nipples.
The nipples. Can we talk about the nipples? First of all, great reporting, New York Post. It's a story about facelifts, but they could not include this tidbit, and I understand why. So apparently David Beckham has very sought-after nipple shape.
I guess so. I mean, nipple, it's like a nippleplasty, right? Is like what they're talking about.
What is his nipple shape that is so sought after?
Well, it's tiny. Have you noticed that he has tiny nipples?
They called it an almond?
An almond-shaped nipple.
I couldn't tell if they were saying it's as his nipples are as small as almonds, or they are oblong and elliptical like almonds instead of round like pepperoni.
I think it's kind of both, honestly. Because if you look at it, he has very, very tiny nipples. I do think it's I actually have a friend who has had a nipple reduction, a male friend.
Okay, was he happy with it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real thing. I mean, I wouldn't say it's very popular.
Wait, so men want bigger penises and smaller nipples?
Yes.
You guys are crazy.
It's not to be confused with gynecomastia surgery.
Of course, which is a breast reduction whether because of a medical condition and or even just an excess of fat in that area. Totally. Right. We're just talking about the areola. This got real technical real quick. Sorry.
I mean, no, but because if you talk to doctors, like usually they're doing like gynecomastia surgeries on men. Because that is a very common issue for a lot of guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this kind of excess breast tissue, whether it's from hormonal changes or whatever, or just naturally they're born that way. But this is a different thing because this is purely aesthetic, right?
Yeah, much more cosmetic.
We're talking about like literally like reducing the size and shape of your nipples.
That is hilarious to me that is coveted, but not that I'm going to yuck someone's yum or make fun of anybody for how they feel about their body. But I do think there's something to this almond thing about if a guy has very well-developed pectoral muscles, the skin can get a little tauter there, which makes the nipple sort of like oblong, stretch it out. If you looked at a bodybuilder, you would see what I'm talking about. And it's almost like by flattening or making the nipple almond shape, you make your pecs look bigger.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, that is true.
Because I was looking at the picture included in the article, and I was like, he's not super muscly. He's a wiry athlete kind of body, yet it made it look like he has serious pecs. You know what I mean? Right.
Part of that too is that like that kind of stretching happens when you have no body fat.
Oh,
so it's
right.
Like any sort of body fat is going to start filling that out a little bit more. And David Beckham has no body fat. He's always been like that, right? He's
yeah.
not like a hugely muscular guy. He's very lean.
But I'm like, is this the male version of contour? You know, like, oh, we could trick people with a little like in the cheekbone bronzer. If they oblongate their nipples to an almond shape, it looks like they have less body fat and their pecs. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know Maybe. Where these things come from, but clearly they said that people were coming in to get his nipples.
Like specifically referencing David Beckham's nipples.
I'm putting David Beckham's nipples in the title of this particular episode. There's no way I can't.
You have to. You have to.
Well, thank you, New York Post, for that. It was a good article. Just since we're keeping on the men's beat here a little bit with the news this week, we are a week and a half out from the Oscars, and I have seen, and you sent me also an article about how bronzed some of the white actors at, I just want to clarify, because of course some people just have bronze skin naturally, at the Oscars were, for example, Matthew McConaughey, who I always feels like that, but like Bradley Cooper? Did you see him?
He looks very bronzed.
Sun-baked for sure. And so an article in the Washington Post was saying they're seeing a resurgence of not just fake tanning never really went away for self-tan, but like actual tanning's like big again? Or did it never go away?
I don't know if it ever really went away, but I do think that the whole Kim Kardashian thing a few months ago, she has her own tanning bed in her office. It's like...
Yeah, we talked about that. I think that was fake just to get us to like talk about it, but...
Hopefully, because tanning beds are so... I will be the first to say, when I was in college, I was very into tanning beds for like a hot minute.
Okay.
Because I had a friend that worked at a tanning salon.
Me too. My best friend in high school. So before the prom, I got discount package. I don't think I've ever told anybody I did that. For like 2 months, I went like weekly tanning.
Oh, same. No. Well, my summer between freshman and sophomore year of college was the only summer that I went home to Charlotte. And I literally went tanning after work every day. And I was so dark. I remember towards the end of the summer, I'm sitting there having dinner with my family. And my dad just goes, well, I guess this was the summer that Garrett got tan. I was so dark. And now I think back to that and I'm like,
son,
why?
Here's what you've done with yourself.
Here's what you've done. It was so wild. But like, if I knew now what I know that, if I knew then what I know now, it would be terrible. I would never have gone anywhere near that place.
Well, that's the thing too that I thought was interesting about this article. We do know now how bad tanning is for your health with cancer risk, but also if you're out here and you're a young person who's like worried you're going to age like spoiled milk or whatever that famous line was that just came out, tanning's certainly going to spoil the milk faster.
Totally. I've heard that a lot of this is spurred by TikTok and Gen Z is kind of doing this kind of stuff. I thought that they were much more aware and health conscious than we were.
But then again, when you are young, you never think about getting old. Like you can't even imagine that, you know, you would get sick or old. So I get even seeing it. It's smoking cigarettes. Like, sure, you know, smoking cigarettes are bad. And everybody has their first cigarette when they're like, oh, it's bad. I'm going to try it anyway. We'll see.
There was one line in that story that I can't stop thinking about, actually, which was, I'm going to paraphrase this because I don't remember, but basically saying, we're so obsessed with performing health that we've lost track of like actually being healthy.
That's so funny. I pulled out that line. It was Jessica DeFino's talking about stuff too. It's, we may have become so used to performing health that we've lost sight of what it actually means to be healthy and instead are choosing potential skin damage. You had it almost perfectly. Nice memory. Isn't that funny that I pulled out the same line though?
I think that's basically the thesis of this whole story, which I think is like why it's stuck with us because... And it's also not just skin. I see this. I'm doing a lot more work lately around like longevity, wellness, all this stuff, because it's all dovetailing with beauty, right? All these people that are spending so much time cold plunging just to put it on you know, social media or all this stuff. It's like, is it really doing a lot for you? It's like, these things exist because they can make you healthy, But why are you doing it? Is it to look cool on Instagram or TikTok, or is it actually doing something for you? And I think that's a weird, we're in this weird place right now where people are more concerned with like the appearance of being healthy than actually like the reality of it, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. Because you can even think about weight. If someone, they might lose weight and be completely not have muscle tone, have poor breathing capability, like not be a good athlete, but they don't care because they look healthy because they're skinny. I guess the body is the original version of it. There's beauty versions of that as well. Tanning obviously being one of them. Even like teeth, like, oh no, you go get veneers instead of like actually flossing every night.
Totally. I will say I have veneers and you actually, if you have veneers,
Garrett,
you actually
what haven't you done? You are my like human co-host guinea pig. I love this. Like truly, everything has come up so far. You're like, I tried it.
I mean, that's like my jam. I will truly try almost anything, but I will say that if you have veneers, it almost makes you even more intense about like oral health
because
I not only have to go to the dentist now every 3 months.
Oh, I didn't know that about veneers. They have to go more frequently for cleanings. Okay.
I mean, it might just be my dentist just recommends that, but this is the secret to the thing. It's like, because I did it for work, like I didn't pay for these veneers, but I'm also like, if something happens to one of my teeth, I can't afford to have it fixed.
Yeah. You want your investment. Protect your investment, even though,
yes. Well, also, like, especially if you're paying for it yourself, like, you're not going to want to mess those up. They're expensive.
Yeah, or if you get laser, you don't want to go in the sun. You get a new facelift. You're about to, like, you be more conscious of it, one would think.
Exactly, exactly. But, you know, to your earlier point, there are a ton of shortcuts, right, that we can now, we now have access to that make us look, quote-unquote, healthier. Like whiter teeth, better skin, younger looking skin.
And that what, yeah, this article isn't just about tanning. It's about that, the performing of those things.
Totally. And tanning, I think, is an extreme example because we actually have data that shows how damaging it is to you. So it's like, if all of this is like available info and people are still choosing to do it because they want to, quote unquote, look healthier, that's the issue, I think, here, right?
Yeah. Oh my God, I keep thinking about it. Last week's guest co-host talked about how in Victorian times, it was cool to look unhealthier. Like all the rich people had tuberculosis, I want to say what it was. So even the like regular middle classes would want to have a pallor to their skin and like look like they have consumption because they were mimicking the rich classes. And there's something about richness that is also health. Like rich people seem to be healthier, even if it's all fake.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, tan skin is a huge indicator of that too, right? It's like before the Industrial Revolution, it was like if you were a laborer, you were tan. So the rich people were all pale. And then it switched because once factories became a thing, the poor people were all inside and the rich people had the time and the means to be outside. So it's like, it's always about rich people.
It's always about money, in conclusion.
Totally.
Oh, this is a good segue we didn't plan to business desk. It is always about money. Let's go to business desk because I have some hot news for you. Okay, so here we are in March, which means February just wrapped. And I saw some numbers on this. Apparently, Black-founded beauty brands grew at nearly twice the rate of the prestige beauty market during February, not just this past February, but the February before. So what this says to me, and of course the brand that has this data, Circana, that reported it, is that I think around Black History Month, there's this performative thing of like, I'm supporting Black-owned beauty brands, but it's not just performative. It really is true that they're supported and that they're growing. And I thought that was really cool news that I just wanted to point out to be. So just to make sure I got this stat right, overall, the brand segment of Black-founded brands saw nearly twice the rate of total prestige beauty market growth. And we know how much the prestige beauty market is growing. So that means a lot in February 2023, and then I guess February 2024. I'm also going to stay in business desk for this last item. I know we're going long here, Garrett. We can talk, but I hope people are hanging in with us because I wanted to talk about merch briefly. I have noticed, I want to know if you noticed this, how many beauty brands are doing merch, but it's not like gift with purchase cheesy plastic pouch. It's Sweatshirt, Milk Makeup has Reebok collab, Glossier, the Queen of This. Oh my God, no, Queen of This, Rode.
Yeah.
The phone case. What do you think of the phone case?
I mean, listen, I am not the target audience for this brand. So I've tried it and it's like, it is what it is. I mean, the phone case is so gimmicky, but I think it's pretty genius, honestly.
As far as marketing, not as far as like where to keep your lip gloss.
Right. Like I would never actually use it, but like, I think from a marketing standpoint, it's genius.
Yeah. There was also, I think it was Women's Wear Daily, I think, did a piece and found the product designer that did that case and has been doing some other of these like interesting pieces of merch. Are you a guy who will wear a branded thing?
I will, but I mean, I'm very specific in what I wear. Like, I'm a big uniform dresser. Like, I basically wear the same thing every day. And I basically only wear black. So for me, it's more about if it fits into my wardrobe and my aesthetic. I'm not going to just buy it because it's a brand that I like. It has to actually be something that I will wear or use. But I'm not opposed to merch. I mean, I'm a fan of merch. I think sometimes, like, we get a little bit too merch crazy, which is obviously the point of a limited edition anything, is to drive interest. But when you send me that story about the merch, my first thought is, this is not beauty related, but the craze for those Trader Joe's mini tote bags going on right now.
What is up with this? Yes. Have you guys, everybody who's listening, seen this? They did like a $2.99. It almost looks like an L.L. Bean canvas tote bag, but smaller.
Right.
Red, yellow, blue, green, I think. There's four colorways.
Right. And not every store has
people are going to other cities.
Yeah.
To buy them.
And like the videos you see on Instagram and TikTok are so, people are losing their effing minds over these totes.
But yet a year ago, we were like, we don't need any more canvas totes. I have a whole big drawer of totes. Stop giving out totes because we're not using plastic bags. And now here we are buying them?
Totally. Just because they're tiny?
No, Garrett, you want to know why we're buying them? Just because we saw it on TikTok.
Right.
It's the same, like you want to be part of the thing, right? I think
the merch thing is interesting because it's all tied to that, right? It's all marketing. If I hear one more person say, I want to be a lifestyle brand, I'm going to like lose my mind.
Who works in the beauty grooming space, you mean?
Right. Yeah.
Who wants to be more than beauty grooming?
Because it's like, you know, I get it. Like you want to cross category, you want to be this whole thing, but it's like, I just hate the term lifestyle brand.
It's horrible. It's also not how people think anymore. Like back in the day, maybe you were like the Ralph Lauren person. You got the sheets, you got the whatever. But it is so fragmented now and people are such individualistic creatures and want to be seen as having their own personal aesthetic. The idea of buying into a lifestyle that is a brand is not cool.
Right. I think about, would you consider Supreme like a lifestyle brand? No, they're a fashion brand, right?
I mean, I'd consider them a skateboard brand. No? Weren't they first? Like,
I guess they were, like, originally, but now they're owned by LVMH.
Oh, they're like a full-on fashion. Okay, that's so funny. I'm so old. I'm like, aren't they skateboards? No.
But they do all these things. Like, but they're all limited edition. And it's smart because it drives interest and it's collectible. And all of this stuff. And it creates excitement. Like they have ashtrays. And I was talking to a friend of mine last night who he's like getting like Supreme rims for his car. You know, like they do all of this stuff, kind of one-offs, which is exciting. But I think that like they kind of built that model so they can kind of get away with that. I think other brands, when you see like, I think there's a difference between a brand coming out with a really interesting, well-designed phone case and a brand that's like, buy our sweatshirt.
Yeah. Oh, but Violette did a sweatshirt and it was really cute. Violette France.
I did like, what was the leather bucket hat?
Ami Cole did a melanin-rich bucket hat.
Like that. It's a good looking hat. And also because it was like silk lined for the hair protection and all that stuff. I thought that was smart.
Yeah. And it doesn't say Ami Cole. It says melanin-rich, which is also cooler than just having a brand on your forehead.
Totally.
I didn't realize it was silk lined. That is smart. Yeah.
For me, like, it needs to make sense with your brand.
That one does.
Right.
The phone case.
I think the phone case does because really it's about her mirror selfies, right?
Oh, yeah. You're right. You should do this this is your second career marketing consultant. Like, I'll give you a brand. This is our other spinoff podcast, everybody. I'm going to throw a brand out there and you're going to, like, give me the merch ideas for it. This is what happens when you worked at GQ and Esquire. This just like comes easily to you.
I'm a product person. I love product, but I'm much more about quality versus quantity. And I feel like a lot of these brands that are trying to get into the merch game, it's just about, it's like schmata.
Schmata. He's from Charlotte and he said schmata. I love it. Yes, but I know you are a product guy, so I'm going to take us over to raise some wands, if that's okay with you, because I want to hear about products you're loving, and we'll also hear about what the listeners are loving.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Okay, it is time to raise a wand. Just so everybody knows, I'm getting behind on listening to the raise a wands. Garrett, I've been doing this thing with guest co-hosts where like, what are you looking for? The family's going to help you and they're going to call it in. And it like throws back to the week before. And people are all like, what? I just listened to the one from 3 weeks ago and it's getting a little crazy. So I'm going to stop that and return to our original raise a wand premise, which is call the number if you have a product you're dying to talk about. Like it has to be an amazing product. Call 646-481-8182. Leave me a voicemail. Tell me about a product you love. There's so many new products out there right now. I know people have new obsessions and I want to hear about them. That said, we cannot leave Anita Bhagwandas hanging. She was my guest co-host last week. She wanted to know, nobody's called in yet because literally we just put that podcast out, so they haven't had time, but she wanted to know, she used to decant her makeup into vintage pill boxes, which I did a deep Etsy, eBay, Google on after I got off the studio with her. Have you seen what a vintage pill box looks like?
Yeah, I heard her say that. And I was like, first of all, I was like, that's a lot of work. But I get it. It's like, they're beautiful. They're gorgeous. They can be, at least.
It made me think of like Poppy King and some of these other like beauty founders we know who, oh, Lisa Eldridge is one. I don't know how much you know about this with like the makeup aspect of your reporting, but she has a collection of vintage beauty products. Like just that, like things are so throwawayable now.
That makeup artist that I do follow her, Erin something on Instagram. She's like super into vintage, really into Marilyn Monroe.
Yes. Erin Parsons. She is very into vintage. But when Anita asked for this, I started thinking about brands I knew and looking around. Did you have any thoughts of like things that look vintagey like that to you?
I mean, I don't know makeup very well at all. I'm just starting to kind of learn more about it. But for me, I thought about there's that fragrance brand Penhaligon's, and they do all those kind of ornate like gold toppers to their fragrances. A lot of them are animals and they're very, I mean, they're modern, but they're vintagey looking. That's what I thought of.
Objet, sculptural.
Objet, yeah.
Yes. No, those are. There was this brand I found, ZC Cosmetics, and they do I don't even know what to, they look like almost like a stopwatch from back in the day that you'd have in your pocket with the chain, or like those vintage compacts. Remember, Estee Lauder used to do always collectible compacts around the holidays. These aren't quite what Anita meant, because it's just a powder or a mirror inside. It's not like every product in the line has that gorgeous, vintagey, cared for quality. But it's funny because a lot of people that have come on the show, and Jess even has talked about this, miss that quality in a beauty product because they do sometimes feel so mass-produced lately. Mm-hmm. Because you can go and make a line in 2 months and it's the same plastic componentry. How many of those damn lip balms have you seen in that same Rode kind of tube lately?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Well, the packaging thing is so wild, because nowadays it feels so like brands just go in and they just like point and say like, I want that one, that one, that one. They all have the same packaging.
Yeah, I think the retailers have something to do with it, because they'll see, I actually just talked about this with somebody at a brand, a particular retailer was like, X SKU is selling from this brand. Do you have anything like that? And the brand doesn't want to disappoint their retailer. So they come up with like, not a copycat product, but something that lives in that world. And then all of a sudden you have 17 of them and it's like saturation point, speed of the market. Why am I ranting? Let's talk about fun products, shall we? Stop ranting. Talk about things we actually like. Let's raise some wands. I have you here, and I know you're just starting to get into fragrance more, so I'm wondering if that extends to candledom.
Okay, so I'm a candle freak.
Yes, I knew it.
I'm sitting next to this closet right here, and 4 of the 5 shelves in this closet are just candles.
I only have a candle cabinet. You have a candle closet?
Yes. I only have one non-bedroom closet in my apartment, and half of it is candles.
Do you have an office at the magazines that you work at?
Yeah, I have a desk, but I don't go in all that often.
You don't have storage for all your candles.
I have little grooming areas at Esquire and like Men's Health, but most of the stuff that I work with comes to my apartment.
So of this closet, what is the one that's worth raising a wand to?
I don't know if I could pick a favorite candle of all time, but the one that I'm burning right now, I'm very into, and it's by Flamingo Estate. It's their Petrichor candle.
So funny. I just ordered that. It just came in, and it smells good in the thing, but I haven't yet gotten to burn it. How's the throw? What's the experience? Tell me everything.
The throw is great. When I first got it—
Oh, and tell me what Petrichor is, too, because it's a cool backstory.
Petrichor is personally one of my favorite things in all of fragrance. I love it so much. It's basically the smell of wet earth right after it rains. So for me, it makes me feel like when I was growing up, and we would go to the mountains, and like the forest, the moss, the little creeks, the rain. It's just like my favorite smell. So when this, I was like so stoked for this candle. There's also a body lotion. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
I haven't tried the lotion. I can imagine the scent would be like slightly different from the lotion to the candle. It's not what I expected when I first got it in terms of when I first smelled it.
Cold throw, I believe it's called.
Yeah, the cold throw. I was like, huh. It was not like I thought I was going to be blown away. Then I lit it. For me, it's earthy and kind of unctuous, but also like herbal, and it's such a unique smell. I have not smelled a candle like this in my entire life. The hot throw is very good. I have a small apartment, but it's really good. Like, I definitely get the scent, but it's not overwhelming. It's not like you're living in this fume room, but it's a very interesting scent. I really like it. And for me at this time of year, where it's like we're inching towards spring, we're all desperate for spring, but you're not quite ready for the full-on throw the windows open, I want like citrus and herbs and fresh linens to kind of air my space out.
No, it's also the wet garden smell of like the little things peeking out that are just starting to grow and you get excited totally. About a very timely candle. Yeah,
I'm so into it.
Raise a wand to the Flamingo Estate Petrichor candle. Outside the candle world, any other new product you'd like to raise a wand to?
I mean, there's so many. I've really struggled with this, I have to say. I will say, because I might just where my head is right now, this is in New York City. This is like the first week that it's been like warm and sunny. Mm-hmm. Like warm enough to not be bundled up when you go outside. I'm obviously thinking about sunscreen a lot. So my favorite sunscreen, it's not brand new. It launched late last year from this brand called Ware, W-A-R-E, and it's called Sunny, S-O-N-N-Y.
I love when someone brings me something I never heard of. Ware Sunny, okay. Why do you like it?
I love it because it's, so my friend Tom was part of this brand, part of starting this brand, and he is a grooming guy too, and he loves product. And so this is, it was kind of originally thought it was going to be a men's line, but then they kind of, now it's more just unisex, and a lot of women like this too. It's like, it's a really good sunscreen for daily wear because it's tinted. I really like how kind of sheer, but the tint is, it's not super cakey. It's not going to like make you look like you're wearing any foundation or anything, but it definitely helps with the cast.
This is how men can also get more comfortable into makeup, I think, the tinted sunscreen, right?
Absolutely. I mean, there's some really good ones out, but this one is a really good one because it's like, it just evens out your skin, but it doesn't make you feel like you're wearing color. And it also, with facial hair, it doesn't get caught in your facial hair, which is also
a big key component. Thing for guys.
Yes. It just gives you a little dew. It's not matte. It's not super matte. So it gives you a little bit of a glow. So for me, it's just like the perfect, it's SPF 40. So
this could be like your everyday protection / skin correcting-ish content.
It's definitely like an everyday. I wouldn't say it's a beach one. It's like a daily wear. But my only gripe is that the bottle is not big enough. I want a jumbo size.
Well, that's the thing with all these great, gorgeous face sunscreens that are out there now. If you actually wore as much of them as you should, you're buying it
once every 3 weeks. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I know they're expensive. I'm hoping the prices come down as we become more of a sunscreen culture like other cultures. Because, yeah, you want a big old bottle of that. I'm going to seed my Raise One because I just love hearing you talk about products and ask you for one more thing. Can be anything as we round out the episode. What do you want to Raise One to?
Oh my gosh, this is, well.
I gave you one more. It shouldn't be hard now. I let you have two extras here.
I mean, I was thinking about, like you were saying, it could be anything. I mean, I needed a point of levity in just the beginning of the political cycle that we're about to embark on.
Here we go in the United States. Everybody get ready for the slowest moving train wreck you've ever seen.
And also, it already happened once, so it's like, come on. Oh, it's complete deja vu.
It's deja vu slow train wreck.
Yeah. So I'm buckling up for that. So I was like, I need some humor. So I just rewatched all of Veep.
Oh my God.
And it is
so
good. It's like genius. And they actually call a lot of what ends up happening in real life.
Right, because what years was Veep originally on?
It was 2012 to 2019.
Wait, that's so funny, because in my head it was post-2016 that it came out, but of course not. No, the political system's been ridiculous since forever.
Yeah, so the last season was 2019, and they start to get into a lot of the,
red, blue, Americans are
yeah, and
ridiculous.
the whole shebang. And I'm like, if only they would just come back and do a reunion episode of just about now. I wish that would happen.
Or could we get a movie Sex and the City style? Okay, this TV show is wrapped. How about the movie version?
Totally. It's just so funny to me. I mean, it's I was getting so stressed out, and I was like, I needed something to bring myself out of the kind of the stress of the political thing. And they're so good at that. They're so good at poking fun at the whole situation. So that's kind of what I've been doing that's not beauty related lately.
Yeah. Raise a wand to that. Yeah. It feels very high stakes. It's like bodily autonomy, the legislation that affects childcare and healthcare, all these things that are so important. And it's run by politicians, and you just need to point out how ridiculous they can be.
I mean,
especially Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
I mean, she's a genius. I mean, listen, it's like, I don't want to say that the stakes aren't high this year, because they obviously are for many, 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 many people, including us. But sometimes you just have to pull it back and be like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, especially as we're in primary season. All right, that's a good raise one. I'll take it right now. Is everybody still voting for primaries, depending on where you live and what state here in the United States? But yeah. Wow, Garrett, this is the longest episode of a guest co-host. Yeah, I hope everybody stuck with us, because I could honestly talk to you for another 5 hours. You're such a delightful guest. Thank you for coming on Fat Mascara.
This has been the most fun I've had in a really long time. So thank you for having
me.
I could also do this for hours and hours and hours. So
okay, maybe I'll have you come back in April. I still have a little bit more sabbatical to go here. Until then, everybody get your beauty sleep. Go get Garrett's book. I'll do all the links in the show notes so everybody knows where to find you. Read all his stuff. Follow him on Instagram. I'll put all your links down there. Thank you again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. This has been great.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us, or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com. We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara. If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182. Thanks so much for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.